Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Usher. What a blessing. Take your Bibles, please. Find the Acts of the Apostles. Turn to chapter 22. Is Mr. Bryan out there in the hall? Mr. Bobby Bryan, I need him. Well, tell him he can do that some other time. Take your Bibles, Acts chapter 22. I've endeavored to preach and teach about stewardship. And I've talked about stewardship of time. I know not the day of my death. Oh, we still have this character here. That music brought him back. Friend, you need to go outside. You'll be better off. If one of these children get a hold of you, it won't be pretty. I wanted Mr. Bryant to see this. Here we go. Mr. Bryant, I know you're busy. Come here and join me for just a minute. You and I are going to sing a duet, brother. You ready? Mr. Bryant is our principal, and I have the latest edition of our annual. It is the year 25-26, the year we've just completed, and it is well done. But Mr. Bryant has a dedication page, and is dedicated to our principal. It's a pleasure to work with the Bryants, and he handles the things in this school that I couldn't handle, and I'm glad he's here. For more than three decades in Christian education, beginning in 1994, Mr. Bryant has faithfully invested in the lives of countless students, whether in the classroom or the principal's office. You don't want to go there. He has led with wisdom, integrity, and a genuine love for young people. Known for his enthusiasm for math, his loyalty to Alabama athletics, and his appreciation for a good chocolate chip cookie, he has also become a regular topic of dinner table conversation thanks to his legendary jokes, clever one-liners, and an unforgettable sense of humor.
I was looking for you. I'll teach you how one day, bro.
More than one family has heard stories that begin with, "You'll never believe what Mr. Bryant said today." Through his example, he has shown us that education is about far more than academics. He has encouraged his students to pursue excellence, honor Christ, and develop character that will last a lifetime. Of course, no tribute would be complete without acknowledging his appreciation for a good play on words. Though some of his fish puns were a little fishy, his impact on students was certainly not. Much like his leadership, his jokes have a way of sticking with us long after the moment has passed. Thank you, Mr. Bryant, for your countless lessons taught, the standards upheld, the prayers offered, the lives impacted. Your dedication to Christian education has left a legacy that reaches far beyond these walls. We are grateful for your leadership, your faithfulness, and the care you've shown to every student entrusted to you. It's well done. It is well done. There you are. Thank you, Mr. Bryant.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Go. Preach.
Mrs. Bland's in trouble because that page was not in the part that I edited. So I appreciate that. It is a labor of love. And so basically, I just want to say we ought to push on. It'd be a mackerel if I ever stopped. So.
Our lives in a way that would glorify the Lord. Pardon me. And so I talked about and preached about stewardship of time, and stewardship of talents, and stewardship of finances. Tonight, on this days before Independence Day, I want to talk about stewardship of citizenship. You likely take citizenship for granted. I think most of us do, but it is such a valuable possession. To be a citizen of the United States of America is tremendously valuable. Now, for this evening, we'll read from Acts chapter 22, and the setting is this. Paul's in Jerusalem, and his very presence creates quite a stir, so there's a riot, and a chief captain, a Roman captain, saves him from this riot, but puts him in custody. And in chapter 22, Paul has an opportunity to preach to Jews in Jerusalem. He speaks to them in Hebrew, and they listen carefully until he says one word in verse 21. Look at verse 21. He says one word, and when he says that word, pandemonium breaks out, and they just go crazy. What's the word? Gentiles. Gentiles. Do you know that God wanted Israel to reach the Gentiles, and they wouldn't even say the word? Now, watch what happens. Go to verse 24. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging that he might know whereof they cried so against him. Excuse me. Whereof they might know whereof they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, but I was free born. I want you to notice, please, that because Paul was a Roman citizen, he had certain protections and he's had certain benefits. I'm not going to compare Rome to an American republic, but I will say this, citizenship has certain privileges, has certain rights, has certain benefits, and citizenship is very valuable. If you look, please, in verse 20, verse 28, the Roman captain said, with great sum obtained I this freedom. Why is that? Because citizenship is very, very valuable. And then Paul said, I was free born. Now, stewardship of citizenship. In other words, what are our responsibilities as citizens? If you were to do a search engine search, you'd get these answers. And most places you get the same answers. I don't know how that's so orchestrated, but I did this. Look up, what are the responsibilities of U.S. citizens? Number one, supporting the Constitution. Number two, obeying the law. Number three, voting. Number four, serving on a jury. Number five, paying taxes. That's the answer you get. And that's good. That's good. But for just a few minutes, let's consider citizenship with a little more depth and a little more detail. But first, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this assembly, my Father. I'm so grateful for the fellowship of the brethren. I'm so grateful for the blessings of worship. And I'm so grateful, dear Father, for the benefits of citizenship. Help us, dear Father, not to take for granted the great blessings we enjoy as citizens of this republic. And help us to be careful to maintain and protect the benefits we are blessed with. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let me, in the time I have, give you three things about citizenship, and certainly nothing new, but three things about citizenship. Number one, the integrity of citizenship. And I say to you again, citizenship in the United States of America, it is very, very valuable. It is such a valuable benefit. It is such an important benefit, and most of the world wants what you have tonight. Now, if you notice, in verse 28 again, the chief captain said, with great sum obtained I my freedom. I obtained this freedom. And why is that? Because it's so very valuable. And citizenship is very valuable. And an individual to come to this country and to legally become a citizen, it's rather cumbersome. And some complain about that. Why is that? Because it is so very important. So very important. Paul says, I was born free. Ladies and gentlemen, I was born free. I was born in the United States of America. My ancestors have been here for generations. If you trace my line back, the Grimes line, and I know that there's many lines involved in a person's life, but if you trace the line back to the Grimes line, you'd go back to a man named John Grimes who came to this country in 1635, and he came to Jamestown, Virginia, and then about 12 more generations, and there I am. My people have been here for a long time. My people paid a price. Now, someone says, Brother Grimes, didn't cost you anything to be an American. No, my ancestors paid the price. What if you could do something for your descendants? You could pay a price, whatever that might be, and provide for your descendants benefits. Wouldn't you do that? Well, our forefathers did that for us. They did that for us. Now, what about the individual who comes to this country and legally becomes a citizen? He legally becomes a citizen. Cost him a great price. Why? Because it is tremendously valuable. It is so very valuable. It's valuable. It is so valuable. But yet the leftists today, with their desire for a global citizenship, and their desire to change Western culture, and their desire to change our country, they treat citizenship like it is very, very cheap, and they just want to give it away. Give it away. That's not the way it should be. People that come into this country illegally, they should not go to the front of the line, and they should not be given amnesty, and they shouldn't get a shortcut to citizenship. I have sympathy for anyone in any circumstance, and I'm certain that if I lived in the other part of the world, I'd want to live here. But my point is, there must be a way to bring people in this country rightly and to vet them and to know that they will assimilate into our society. It's so very important, the value of citizenship. Now, our Supreme Court rendered a very poor decision yesterday. I'm not a lawyer and I'm not an expert on the Constitution, but I believe it to be a very poor decision, and it has to do with the 14th Amendment. According to the 14th Amendment, paraphrase, an individual, most individuals born on this soil in the United States of America or its territories are automatically American citizens. So they have what they call anchor babies. And people come into this country however they can. They sneak in, they slip in. Maybe they come in on a visa or as a visitor, and they come here and birth their baby here, and their baby has this tremendous blessing of citizenship. And that baby's not assimilated in our country. That baby's not an American citizen. That baby doesn't understand our culture, but that family uses that. The Supreme Court said that that's legal. There was a case, it's called Trump versus Barbara, and Barbara is just a generic female name. It's kind of like Roe versus Wade. Who is Jane Roe? It's just a name. So it's Roe versus Barbara, and the majority opinion was written by Justice John Roberts. And he said this: children born in the United States to parents unlawfully or temporarily present are subject to the jurisdiction of the United States and are citizens at birth under the 14th Amendment's citizenship clause. And that was what? 5-4? 5-4? Let's see. The majority opinions: Justice Roberts, Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, Ketanji Brown Jackson, and Amy Coney Barrett. Now, Alito wrote a dissent, and Justice Alito argued that the Constitution was never intended to extend citizenship so broadly, and said the majority's reading rewards what he described as birth tourists, people who temporarily travel to the United States to give birth so their children will acquire an American citizenship. Justice Thomas, he was joined by Neil Gorsuch as he wrote his dissent, and he argued that the court had departed from the original understanding of the 14th Amendment, and I believe that to be so. Now, the 14th Amendment, if you look at the 13th and the 14th and the 15th Amendments, these are called Reconstruction Amendments, and they were passed in 1868 after the war between the states. Now, the 13th Amendment, it freed the slaves. No man can be a slave in this country, and I'm grateful for that. 13th. The 15th, it gave freed slaves voting rights. But the 14th, it gave freed slaves, people born in this country in slavery, it gave them citizenship. And that was the sense of it. Now, if you could go back and talk to the individuals who were involved with that amendment and say, well, look, people are going to come to this country in the future, and they're going to come here just for the purpose of having a child here to gain that valuable American citizenship. That is not what they intended. That's not the spirit of the law, and I believe that decision is really going to be hurtful. I think that that's going to increase and encourage so much immigration for this reason. And again, I'm not going to disparage anybody, and I understand wanting to be an American, but there are too many folks that come here and they want to damage this country. They want to do something to hurt this country. They're not assimilating into this country. There's just too many of those individuals. The value of citizenship. Ronald Reagan gave a speech. It was his last speech. He served two terms as our president, and January 19, 1989, he gave his last speech. Here's a portion of it. He said, "Tomorrow is a special day for me. I'm going to receive my gold watch. And since this is the last speech that I will give as president, I think it's fitting to leave one final thought, an observation about a country which I love. It was best stated in a letter I received not long ago. A man wrote me and said, "You can live in France, but you cannot be a Frenchman. You can go to live in Germany or Turkey or Japan, but you cannot become a German, Turk, or Japanese. But anyone from any corner of the earth can come to live in America and become an American." That is legally. We are all in favor of legal immigration. We understand that. But there must be a vetting process. There must be a process. And it's important to understand how valuable citizenship is. It shouldn't be cheapened. It shouldn't be given away. And it shouldn't be treated as the left has so treated it, the integrity of citizenship, the responsibility of citizenship. Too many have come to believe that they deserve the rights of citizenship without assuming the responsibilities. What are the responsibilities? Well, the things that I mentioned earlier, voting and jury duty and such things, those are important. But basically, citizens are to be independent, they're to be self-supporting, and they're to contribute to the good of the republic. They're to be self-governing. They're to be responsible. They're to obey the law of the land. They're to take care of themselves. You know, in America, we believe in individualism. And when individuals are responsible for themselves, now there's some people that need help for legitimate reasons and such as that. But generally speaking, when people are responsible for themselves and they take care of themselves and they take care of their business and they take care of their homes and they raise their children and they endeavor to better themselves, when the majority of Americans are endeavoring to do that, guess what? The whole country moves forward. Citizenship requires work. It requires living a responsible life. It is important in America that we have a strong and a large middle class. And the middle class is under attack right now. I had the privilege when I was young to visit Mexico. I went to Mexico City for a week. And it was quite an eye-opening thing. That was 1975, so things may be different now, I don't know. But in 1975, let me tell you what I observed. I observed compounds with high walls and expensive automobiles. And I observed people that were begging on the streets. Most of the public was begging on the streets of Mexico City, and many of them were living in shanty towns in cardboard boxes. It was terrible. You know what I didn't see? I'm sure it's there, but it wasn't very prevalent. I didn't see a middle class. Listen, I've been raised in middle class. I'm from suburbia America. My people were from rural America, but I lived in suburbs my life. And a strong, why is the middle class important? Why is it important? Well, people who are at the bottom of the social ladder, for whatever reason, they can't take care of themselves. Somebody has to take care of them. And if the government takes care of them, there's a price for that. You let somebody take care of you and you owe them something, and you're going to have to live within the conditions they want you to live. That's the lower end. On the upper end, those folks that are very, very wealthy, they can do anything they want. They have the power of wealth, and that's their business, good for them. But the middle class, these are individuals that work. These are individuals that pay their bills. These are individuals that don't want any government help. Now, they don't want to be a leech. They don't want to be a draw. They want to take care of themselves. They're important because you know what they say by their very lifestyle? They say, "You're not going to push me around. You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm a citizen. I'm a taxpayer. I'm going to take care of myself, and I'm going to be involved in my republic." They are vital. They are so very important. They're so very important. You know, John F. Kennedy gave a speech in 1960. He was a presidential candidate. And in this speech, he warned about the danger of communism being 90 miles off the shores of Florida in Cuba. Well, how would he feel about his own party tonight embracing socialism and communism? And where has capitalism been better demonstrated than in New York City? And those people are electing communists. Very likely, they're going to send three socialists to the United States Congress in the fall. And it's going to be to our hurt. You read what these people believe. They're not strong on American principles. Did you notice a great many of the Democrats won't raise an American flag on Independence Day? Did you know a great many Democrats say they're not going to support or take a part in Independence Day? Many are, but there are a lot that are not. Brethren, I don't get it. We are such a blessed people. Individualism, they want collectivism. Collectivism, that's socialism. And it has not benefited any people anywhere that it has been attempted. Never in the history of the world has anything been a greater failure than that. The responsibility of citizenship, it is to be self-governing. It is to be self-control. Liberty is such a great blessing, but it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? You can use your liberty to make good decisions and you'll enjoy the benefits, or you can use your liberty to make poor decisions and you'll suffer the consequences. It's up to you. You see, you've got to be responsible. If you want liberty, then you've got to be responsible. And if you don't want the government involved in every aspect of your life, you must be self-governing. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. It's so very important. Responsibility. Citizenship requires responsibility, but it also requires loyalty. Integrity, responsibility, loyalty. We're seeing something in America, and it is very disheartening, and it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. It's called tribalism. And we have individuals who are members of certain sects, and their tribe means more to them than their country. Certainly, America is a mix of cultures. It's the melting pot, and people have come here from all over the world, and we enjoy the mix of cultures. But when a people will not assimilate into America and become Americans. Theodore Roosevelt, he said this. He said, if the immigrant who comes here in good faith becomes an American and assimilates himself to us, he shall be treated on an exact equality with everyone else. For it is an outrage to discriminate against any such man because of creed, birthplace, or origin. But this is predicated upon the man's becoming in very fact an American and nothing but an American. Now, I said something a while ago, and I'm not boasting. My people did a lot of research in this. My ancestor that came to this country was John Grimes, and he came here in 1635, and he came to Jamestown. So he came from England. He was an Englishman, very likely. He was loyal to the king, 1635. He was an Englishman. That's my heritage. But listen, you get a hold of this. I am not an Englishman. I don't have any connection to England other than history. I'm not an English American. I'm not a Caucasian American. I am an American. I'm a native born American. My people have been here for generations, and this is my country. I love my country. But on the other hand, so my people have been here for 12 generations. But if an individual comes to this country legally and enters this country legally and goes through that process to secure something very valuable, citizenship in the United States of America, he has the same place, the same rights, the same benefits that I do, having my ancestors here for a long time. Do you follow that? That's our nation. That's the republic. And we certainly, the left likes to say that some people like me are opposed to immigration. We are not. But we're opposed to 10 million people coming across our border unvetted during the 4 years of Joseph Biden. I'm opposed to that. Tribalism will destroy our nation. Tribalism. You know about this. Minneapolis, Minnesota. The Somalians have come there. They've gathered there. They've not assimilated into American culture. They brought Somalia to America. Now, they left Somalia because it's dangerous, but they want to bring that here. And they elect representatives. They have Ilhan Omar. And these people have not assimilated. They have not. About 80% of them are on public support. And that's not to mention the terrible fraud that we've heard about during the years. You see, that's tribalism. Now, listen, it's not my tribe as far as lineage, but I'm a Baptist. All right, we Baptists have a lot in common. But that doesn't mean that we believe that Baptists are better citizens than anybody else. We believe that citizens have certain rights that are presented in the Constitution. We have principles that are presented in the Declaration of Independence. And we don't value our tribe over our citizens or over our nation. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. That's where your allegiance should be. thank God for that heritage that you may have, whatever it is. But you are an American, and your allegiance must be to America. In Minneapolis, you've got the Somalian population. In Dearborn, Michigan, it looks like an Islamic state. It's incredible. It's just unbelievable. You look it up. They have Islamic mayor, Islamic chief of police. They have called a prayer publicly every day, many times a day, starting at 5 a.m. They had an individual that went to the town meeting, the city council, and said, could we not have the call to prayer at 5 a.m.? Some of us are trying to sleep. And the mayor said, if you don't like it, you can leave. In fact, we'd like you to leave. We want you to leave. That's not assimilating. For citizenship to work, the majority of the residents must be citizens. A citizen and a resident are not the same thing. The left wants you to believe that anybody that's a resident should be treated as a citizen, should have the rights of a citizen, should vote like a citizen. But that is not so. A citizen and a resident are not the same. And if a country has more residents, if that gets out of balance, it's to the hurt of that country. The loyalty of citizenship. Mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, last week he celebrated independence. I don't know what he'll do on Independence Day this Saturday, but last week he celebrated independence. He got with a group of Somalis and celebrated the independence of Somalia. But if you'll study history, Somalia was better under colonial rule. The integrity of citizenship, the responsibility of citizenship, the loyalty of citizenship. What I want you to understand is this: citizenship is very, very valuable. Don't take it for granted. Don't give it away. Protect it. Mark Twain said this: citizenship makes a great republic. Monarchies can do without it. Stand with me, please, for prayer. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. Stewardship of citizenship, or responsibilities of citizenship. So in America, you have liberty, and that covers every area of your life. But certainly, you have the liberty to worship according to your convictions, and you're here tonight. Use your liberty to make good decisions, and the best decision that anybody can make is to respond to the gospel of grace and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you've never made that decision, I encourage you to make a decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then I encourage you, make a decision to follow Him, to be His disciple. Let's pray for these many requests. Let's examine ourselves. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this assembly. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for the benefits of citizenship. Thank you for a republic that is built upon exceptional principles. Thank you for the liberties we enjoy. Help us to commemorate, celebrate, appreciate the 250 years. But Father, we ask you to protect our nation and help us to do our part to be the citizens you would have us to be. We love you and thank you. We ask you to bless our invitation time, and we ask in our Savior's name. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. As our pianist plays a hymn of invitation, let's examine ourselves, and let's use this time to pray for these many requests.